And welcome to another Fool's Daily. It's Joel back here again to talk on his own, I'm afraid, about some more small games that you might want to pick up, put in your pocket or put in your tournament bag, and pass away a few of those maybe dead minutes that you might find at an event. Today I'm going to stick with card games and talk about the first of the pocket games that I ever picked up myself. It's maybe one that you've played yourself, or certainly seen around, and that card game is Flux, F-L-U-X. Flux is a game that comes in many, many variants now, but the one I'm going to start is discussing the original. When I first picked up the game, it was in 2.0. It's since on its fourth edition, I believe, now. It has become multiple variants, it has become a board game even. And it must certainly point to its enduringness and its the love that it's obviously had. Flux itself is a very, very simple game at heart. There's a deck of cards. They all have the same card back, bar one, which is the initial rule card. You place this up right in the centre of the table, and the starting rules for the game are on that card. They tell each player to draw a card, and then discard a card. They can play a card as well. And that's the rules. Draw one card, play one card. You then deal out a handful of cards to every player who's playing the game, which can theoretically be almost any number. The more the merrier sometimes. And you simply then follow the rules. Now, in the card deck themselves are more rules for the game, as well as actions that you may take, and keepers, cards that you'll want to put down in front of you. Since you have to follow the rules of the game, I will start by drawing a card. If it's a rule card, excuse me, if it's a rule card, I can play that rule down and change the rules of the game. So if I have one that says, play two cards, I put that card down, and now the rules of the game are draw one but play two. Meaning that to fulfil the rules of the game, I have to now play a second card. So give me more actions, and give my opponent more actions as well. I play as many cards of any kind that I like, as long as I fulfil the rules of the game. And then my opponent takes a turn, and then the next person on the table, and so on, until it gets back to you. As you can imagine, the amount of rules and how many there are can build up quite dramatically, quite quickly. There are cards that you can play that would allow you to draw more cards, play more cards, that allow you to have more than one win condition in play at the time. These are called goals, and so on and so forth. There's lots and lots of them. There are, for example, there's some cards that completely reset the rules as well, and set them back to the starting position. I mean, if things do get out of hand, there's often a way of getting them back under control during the middle of the game. So, how do you win a Flux game? Well, that's also in a state of flux. You win the game by fulfilling whichever goal is the current goal of the game. When you first start, there isn't one. The goals are put into play by the players. There are usually a combination in the initial game of two keeper cards that you have in front of you. For example, the keepers have names like love or money, peace, war, cookies, bread, TV, the moon, the sun, chocolate, that kind of thing. Just anyday objects, but how you combine these might have a bearing on it. So, for example, there might be a win condition called chocolate cookies. And if you have both the cookies and the chocolate keeper in front of you, you win the game. Of course, someone can put down a different goal and change that win condition to maybe rocket to the moon, where you have to have both the moon and a rocket to win. Or any other combination, there's loads of them. It's up to you to try and make sure you can time it right with the cards you play so you're able to hit the goal. Excuse me. So, as you can imagine, the pace of the game gets quite frenetic, and people are trying to constantly look at what they're meant to be doing, And you get the opportunity, certainly, to mess each other over, steal other people's keepers, scramble them about, make people play things randomly from their hands rather than having a choice over it. And I think I can successfully guarantee that no two games of Flux will ever go the same way. Flux itself is a nice, cheap game to find. The original one will retail for around £9. But it doesn't just stop there. I think the people who created Flux very quickly figured out they could do it in slightly different ways. A popular variant among the many is Zombie Flux. Zombie Flux takes the basic zombie movie and fixes it into the Flux mechanics. So you end up with keepers like chainsaws and shotguns and things like that. And there's also a new type of card brought in called the Creeper. These are zombie cards that are attached to you, and you want to try and pass them around the table to make your opponent have more zombies so that they have negatives. However, there are certain win conditions based on the amount of zombies you may or may not have. So it's always very difficult to control who wins. Although there might be a certain amount of strategy with things like Flux and Zombie Flux, there is certainly a lot of luck involved, making for some hilarity. It's also a very, very fast game to play, and it doesn't take up a lot of space on the tabletop. So it's often, the great sort of party edition, and easy to break out and very easy to get a new player into. For example, some of the ones you might want to get, as well as Zombie Flux, they've done a Stoner Flux, a Monty Python Flux, a Pirate Flux, a Star Flux with a sort of science fiction theme to it. They've done a Cartoon Network Flux, which is a new one on me, but obviously based around the franchise tie-ins. So as you can imagine, there's pretty much anything out there. A personal favourite is Cthulhu Flux, for all those people who do like to worship the ancients out there. Again, they've all slightly different takes on the game. They're not quite interminglable, but you probably could do if you wanted to. And yes, just mix up your deck, give it a good shuffle, and away you and as many other players as you want go. The variants of Flux retail for around the £12 mark, and any one of these games will be enough to get you going. If you have an iPad or an iPhone, you can also download Flux as an app nowadays. It plays really well. I have it myself, and it's a great way to sort of play with other people online or pass and play around if you don't even have a deck handy. So Flux is certainly a game I would recommend anyone getting. My first introduction to it was actually at Games Workshop's headquarters, when I started playing it between tournament rounds in Bowman's Bar. I soon picked up a copy based on that, and brought it to the tournaments, and literally would have 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 players all playing at once, just mixing up, having a laugh, and shooting the breeze. Making it, in my opinion, one of the best games to fit this small games category I want to talk about. Well, that's the first game covered. I hope you pick it up. The next one I want to talk about is actually not involving cards this time. This time I'd like to talk about a tile-based game. One that could be played solo, if you just happen to have a few minutes and want to challenge your brain. Or could be played with 2 to 4 players if you fancy getting a few people involved. This is a tile-based game called Tantrix. T-A-N-T-R-A-X. As games go, it's been around for a few years. I believe it was first around in the late 90s and early 2000s. It comes in a really presentable way. It's a nice bag. I would say probably about 6 inches across, the size of a small plate. So maybe you need a slightly bigger pocket to fit this one in. But it does come with a nice handy belt loop thing, and it's a nice zipped up, and it's really high quality. A small but well-written rulebook. Again, backed with plastic to make it very resilient to any spills or tears. And it comes with 56 hexagonally shaped tiles. The tiles have lots of colour to them as well. They're a black background. They have a coloured number on the back of them. This number could be blue, green, yellow, red or white, and those will come into play during some of the variants of the game. And on the actual face of the tile, you have some paths. Again, red, yellow, green or blue. And these form either straights or curves or bends that you put together when you place the tiles next to each other, which form loops and whorls in the pattern. And the idea is to make loops that work. So you have yellows touching yellow paths, reds touching red paths, blue touching blue and green touching green. And if you can't place a tile where or it matches with all the tiles it meets, then you can't place that particular tile. The game itself, as I said, comes in two variants. First of all, using the first chunk of tiles, you have the solo variant. To do this, you pick out all the tiles which have a non-white number on them. Fortunately, these are numbered 1 all the way up through to about 30 before we start hitting white. Well, for the solo variant, all you have to do is, starting with the first 3 tiles, pick them up and look on the back of the highest numbered tile you've got. In that case, my first one, this will be 3. And the 3 is written in yellow on the back of that tile. This means that I have to place these 3 tiles on any surface with the yellow path making a complete loop. So no matter what shape it goes, it actually forms one path where it goes back on itself and loops around. The other path, as long as they're touching correctly, so I don't have a red touching a green, for example, as long as they're touching correctly, do not have to form a loop on the pattern. So I can quickly put the first 3 together, form a nice little loop, and I'm on to the next challenge, which means I get the tile number 4. Tile number 4 has a red background, so now this time I have to take those 4 tiles and make a red loop out of them. And so on and so forth. If I manage to do that, I can add tile number 5 in, and 6, 7, 8, all the time making the loop of the colour that matches the highest value tile I have. This is actually quite challenging, I found. The first few tiles, the first few loops are quite simple, they have a small number. But when you start hitting towards 7, 8, 9 or more, with 10, 11, 12 tiles, it can get really challenging to try and make those loops. It's a really good workout for the brain. Similar sort of level, I'd say, to maybe doing a crossword, as opposed to doing something like solitaire. You're actually having to think about what you're doing and think carefully about the placements. It's quite absorbing in its own way, because it could pass a few minutes if you simply happen to have the time and no one else around to play with. But if you do have people to play with, then the 2-4 player variant of Tantrix is amazingly good fun. It's got a wonderful raft of strategy to it. You each take a certain number of tiles to start with, and you are taken in turns to place these tiles down to form paths. The idea is trying to block your opponent in so that you will have the longest path by the end of the game. You each choose a colour, say yellow or red, and it will be those paths that you're trying to make. So you'll be trying to make red paths and your opponent might be trying to make yellow paths. All in all, there are certain simple rules to follow, just 3 rules and 3 restrictions for the game. So the rules are quite simply laid out, and they're very easy to show someone how to do. And then you can get straight into it. Being able to block people from where they might want to go, being able to use your tiles to the best effect, and choosing which tile you want to use adds a certain level of strategy to it as well. I would not say that it's a case of the best player always wins. There's a certain amount of luck involved with which tiles you can pick up and which tiles you draw, which add to a kind of luck element into the game. But generally, the best players will win, and that shows that the strategy is there, as well as a certain element of luck. Tantrix retails from about £16.50 to about £20, I've seen it for. It's really nicely designed. There's a very high production quality to all the pieces involved. They're very touchable. You want to hold the pieces, you want to play them, they have a nice heft to them. And that's something I like for in a game as well. So even though it's a little bit big for maybe a pocket, it'll certainly fit into your bag, and it's certainly worth picking up. If you're enjoying these small games reports, and you'd like me to talk about a small game you know about, or would you like to come onto the show to talk about your favourite small game with me, just get in contact with @Joel_Henry And we'll go and record some time with you. Or certainly I'll find out more about the game, give it a go, and talk about it. Next time I'll be here talking about a game called Hive, another tile-based game, which Justin Gibbs, one of the lead designers of Maui 4, actually talked about in a blog a good while back now and got me involved with it, for which I have to thank him. But I'll save that detail for next time. So, thank you very much for listening, and I've been Joel.
You can contact Fools Daily on Twitter, we're at Fools_Daily, or via email, foolsdaily@outlook.com.